Praise the Lord.
God is worthy to be praised.
We love you all, saints. It's wonderful to be here with you all. I've been thinking about amazing doctrines. It says in Matthew 7, verse 28, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished, amazed at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." And I just briefly like to cover the amazing doctrine of the new birth, the amazing doctrine of sanctification, the amazing doctrine of holiness, the amazing doctrine of healing in Christ. The amazing doctrine of the new birth. Jesus said, and darling, can you bring me the black book, hymn book, please? Jesus said in John 3 to Nicodemus, we all know it, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5. We're in John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot, except born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter." One was he cannot see, and he can't enter. You can't enter a door you can't see. So they can't see it, and therefore they cannot enter, unless they're born again, the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And so I'd like to sing a hymn that we used to sing in the church that we left. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain, "Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. I verily, verily say unto you, ye must be born again. Ye children of men, attend to the word so solemnly uttered by Jesus the Lord, and let not this message to you be in vain. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. I verily, verily say unto you, ye must be born again. O ye who would enter the glorious rest and sing with the ransomed the song of the blessed, the life everlasting if ye would obtain, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. I verily, verily say unto you, ye must be born again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, I love these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. We don't have to teach him to quit smoking. We don't have to teach him to dress this way. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I just love, when I was younger, a little boy, I loved collecting caterpillars. There were these back caterpillars. They were in trees, and I'd collect them and put them in a little jar, and I'd watch them hang upside down, and it going through into metamorphosis. That caterpillar, before it went through the metamorphosis, it was crawling on the ground, eating leaves. It couldn't soar up. It was carnality down here in the world, dust, metaphorically speaking, that's the way we were. But then something began to occur inside, a change. It either spins into a cocoon or it goes into a, I didn't study all the words, but kind of like a little mummy. And then after a certain amount of time, it cracks open, and out comes a leg, a wing, and it says that the blood goes through it and it dries up, and out comes something that looks totally different than that ugly worm. It no longer crawls on the ground, it flies. It not only has been changed inwardly, it looks differently. It doesn't look like a worm, it's so beautiful. And its appetite changes. At one time it ate leaves, now it sucks nectar. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I love that. And that's what God does for us. We don't have to teach the worm to take off the old clothing, put on the new clothing, although we teach it. But I mean, it doesn't really have to be taught. When it comes from the heart, you don't have to teach him to change the way he speaks, the tongue, the curse words, the vulgar language. It'll happen from the inside out. Old things are passed away. The lifestyle, the appetite changes. I used to love TV. My appetite changed. I still have a human nature that likes that, but my appetite changed. I love to read the Word of God. I'm now for this 2 years now. I finished the New and Old Testament. I'm finishing again. Every 2 years or 3 years, I'm reading the Bible over and over again, and it never gets old. My appetite used to be television. Thankfully, I was not into video games. They were just starting out at that time. I never drank. I never smoked. No glory and honor to me. I never did drugs. I didn't go to dances because the Lord caught me at a very young age. I cried to him at age 8. At age 11, I started reading the Bible. But I have other issues. I had anger issues. I had pride. I had rebellion. And the Lord changed that. I fought with my brothers and sisters, and he changed it to peace. I acted differently. I dressed differently. And he worked from the inside out. All things passed away. All things became new. I love what it says in Isaiah. We're talking about the amazing doctrine of the new birth. The amazing doctrine of the new birth. Upon this, if we don't get this one, if we don't experience it, nothing else matters. You must be born again to see the kingdom, the church of God, Jesus Christ the Lord, and you must be born again to enter, to even want to enter the straight and narrow gate. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6, Jehovah's Witnesses teach this as a millennial reign. We understand better. Isaiah 11:6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw with the ox together. Why are we here together? Because God changed the wolves and the lions. He took away that lion nature, that wolf nature, and he gave us a lamb nature. The lion is no longer a lamb. It has a lamb nature. The wolf is no longer a wolf. It has a lamb nature. And we can all dwell together. I'm so thankful that it's happening. It's here now in the church of God. This is not a future event. It happens when we are born again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One other amazing thing that occurs when we're born again is that we stop sinning. I didn't have to be taught to quit cursing. I just barely started, and the Holy Spirit showed me, that doesn't sound right, Tony. I sent to say, I want to kill them. The elderly black man that I met gave me my Bible, a Christian. He told me, did you hear what he said? You want to kill him? I said, yeah, but I'm not going to kill him. He says, but that doesn't sound right for a Christian. He said, I just want to kill them. That even was bad. That's bad. So it says in 1 John 3, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Oh, no, we sin every day. The pastor gets married, divorces his wife 9 times, and they're okay. In my congregation, they live together, and they're okay. That's what they teach. Nobody's perfect. We all sin a little bit every day. We're sinners saved by grace. I say, I was a sinner, but I am saved by grace now, amen? He that committed sin is of the devil. Oh, be careful what you say. Are you saying you're of the devil? For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Saints, this is the teaching of the Word of God. The amazing doctrine of the new birth. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That's verse 14. When I met the church of God and the saints, we had been out of our Babylon for a year and a half, and one of the doctrines that was told me is that we don't sin. I thought, are you self-righteous thing? You mean you're a man and you've never looked upon a woman and lusted after her? He looked at me and he said, no, when God changes your nature, you don't look upon a woman anymore like that. Yeah, you have flesh, but you look with respect and honor at women. And I said, well, I do too, but I mean, you're saying you've never done that. And so the devil wants to destroy this doctrine and picket it and say it's not true. Someone explained to me one way this one time, and I'm sure you heard this. A woman has a baby, and the baby's crying. She's on the fourth floor, and she knows that she's tried and tried, and the baby won't keep crying. She loves her baby. This is her baby. This is her child. And the devil comes and says, throw it out the window, out the fourth floor, and you'll stop crying. And she says, I can't do it. I can't do it. She has the ability to do it, but she says, why can't we sin? Because we don't want to hurt our Savior. We have the capacity. I have the hands and the eyes and the ability, but I can't do it. I can't do it because I love my Jesus, and I can't do it. Amen. That's what this doctrine is. The amazing doctrine of the new birth. The amazing doctrine of sanctification. Jesus said in John 14, verse 17, even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, because they're not born again, neither knoweth him, but we know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. For 3.5 years, the disciples had Jesus. He told them in the future the Holy Spirit would come, the Comforter, and he would not leave them comfortless. He was with them. But they only had the Holy Spirit with them, he said. But later on, when they surrendered and obeyed Jesus in Acts 2, hallelujah, there came a mighty rushing wind, tongues settled upon them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's where it began. 3.5 years later, I mentioned that to say that I was raised in a church that I was taught when you're saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. But now I know that when you're saved, the Holy Spirit is with you. He's working in you, but he's not abiding continually. He's with us, and when we yield in a second work of grace, he's in us. Jesus also prayed for his disciples in John 17, that prayer, John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. That's showing that they had been with him 3.5 years, but they were not sanctified. Sanctification includes infilling the Holy Spirit and removal of carnality and depravity through the work of the Holy Spirit. Where do we get carnality and depravity? We got it from Adam and Eve. It passed down to us. We're born that way. Children that are born and die without ever having sinned, they go to heaven because of the blood of Christ. But if we're children and we're born, you don't have to teach your children to pull here, to bite, to kick, because they have something in them. What is it called? It's an element. It's an inclination to sin. It's called carnality, depravity. And we're born that way. When Adam and Eve were made, they were perfect. When they sinned, they fell one level. And then they had children, Cain and Abel. And when they sinned, they fell another level. They didn't have to teach Cain to kill Abel. He was born with something that made him do it. He had carnality and depravity. When we're born as children, we're born with carnality and depravity. And then we sin for ourselves. We're born one level down. We sin, we fall another level. When we confess our sins and are born again, we rise one level. But there's still one level to reach to where Adam and Eve were before. And we receive that in a second work of grace. That's as simple as we can put it for right now. Sanctify them through thy truth. The word is truth. 19. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. I like to tell a simple story. Sanctification also means being separated unto. What would you think, Brother Ivan, if you had a toothbrush Would you take that toothbrush and brush your cat and your dog and then keep on using it? You wouldn't do that. And when we are separated unto Christ, born again, we're sanctified for his special use. We don't want to take our life and brush it against a prostitute, against a thief, against a party. We're separated unto him. Would you use your toothbrush for something like that? I'm Jesus' toothbrush. Are you Jesus' toothbrush? It's for his specific purpose and use. Let's keep it that way. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. Luke chapter 3, 16. We're talking about the amazing doctrine of sanctification. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to loose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan in his hand is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge. He'll take out what's in our heart. He'll purge it out and will gather the wheat into the garner, all the good, love, joy, peace, long suffering. He wants that. But the chaff, carnality, depravity, he will burn with fire unquenchable. This has two meanings. We're focusing on one. When I was a young minister, age 26, I started in the ministry at age 20. I had the privilege of being in Baja California 2 years. We traveled in pairs of two. We sold everything. We lived by faith. We didn't get married. We sold all our possessions. That was the church I was in. We were visiting with a man that couldn't come to services because he had to work on Sunday. He was a brick kiln person. There was red clay. They'd fill it with water, and you'd get in the mud, and you'd stomp on it barefooted. So we went to talk to him. We rolled up our sleeves, pants, and because he couldn't come to service, and we got in there with him and said, you know that Jesus died for you to save you, and we preached the gospel to him doing that. But the point is this, is that we would take that red clay mud and put it in molds, tile molds or brick molds, and it would get dry, and we'd take it out. It was molded. That's like us being saved. We're taken out of the miry place we were, put into Christ. We're saved, but there's something missing. If you don't allow that brick to go through the process, it can easily be broken and water can dissolve it. When we're saved, we're molded, we're changed. Old things are passed away. All things become new. We're a different shape. We've been brought out and we're shaped. But if we remain there, Satan will come along with the water of doubt, with the water of worldliness, and dissolve us. He'll dash us against this and that and break us. But there was still one more process left after that brick was molded. It was fired. Yeah. That man would take them all out of the mold, and he put them, stack them up in little kilns, a lot of them. It would get red hot, and when it'd get red hot, it'd go through a process that would change it forever. You can now dip that brick in water all you want. It will not dissolve. You can get it and throw it against the wall, and it won't break. I mean, there is a breaking point. We're not once saved, always saved. But what I want to say is that it changes. Yeah. It says that he will baptize you with fire. Have you been baptized with fire? If you've not been baptized with fire, you're missing a very important step that is going to establish, strengthen, settle you in Christ. Oh, let's be baptized with fire. Seek it. Jesus said, an evil man knows how to give good gifts. How much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Sanctification is something you seek for, you ask for, and if you receive it by faith, you got it. Amen. Acts chapter 9. Our brother Saul. He was Saul. Just think about it. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of Christ. He was bringing them bound to Jerusalem. He was at Stephen's stoning and he consented to it. But something happened in Paul's life. A great light appeared. Jesus appeared to him. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He fell down. He told him, it will be told you what you must do. Go to the city. God prepared Ananias. And I just want to mention this, that this was not brother Paul. This was enemy. But later on, he was saved. How do we know? The first step was saved because Ananias entered in and he said unto him, hallelujah. Verse 17, Acts 9, 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, Would you call somebody brother that you still thought was a persecutor? God had revealed to him that this is a saved brother. So we're trying to prove the point that you're first saved. He did not have the Holy Spirit yet for 3 days. Said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Immediately he rose up and was baptized. Why would he want to be baptized if he's against God's people? He'd been born again, and now he'd been sanctified. Carnality, depravity have been removed. Straightway he preached he preached Christ in the synagogues. This one that was against God's people is now preaching the word of God. What happened? The amazing doctrine of sanctification. But all that heard him were amazed. Amazing doctrine of sanctification. And said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for the intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? What happened here? The amazing doctrine of sanctification became real in Brother Paul's life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Notice that he was 3 days saved. The Holy Spirit was with him. But after the third day, the Holy Spirit was in him. Amen? When you're saved, he's with you. When you're sanctified, he infills you. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. How do we get depravity and carnality? It's been passed down since Adam and Eve. My parents passed it down to me, but thank the Lord, I've received justification, salvation, and now sanctification. I'm back where Adam and Eve were. Not in every aspect. We get sick and we die, but we're back to innocence with the image of God when we are sanctified. The amazing doctrine of holiness. Psalm 96, verse 9. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all ye, all the earth. The beauty of holiness. There's churches that only think that holiness is outward, the long uncut hair, the dresses. It's more than that. It includes that. Amen. Holiness begins in the heart. Through the amazing doctrine of the new birth and through the amazing doctrine of sanctification. Holiness comes about. When I was growing up, I heard a story at a convention. I think I was 15, my second convention as a new Christian. And the minister said this story, and I've loved it, I've never forgotten it, that a man went to a dump, and he saw a rose bush growing there, and a rose blooming. And the dump stunk, and it smelled horrible. And he said, that rose is going to stink just like this dump. He went up to it, and he smelled it. It didn't smell like the dump, it smelled like a rose. Why? Because it was getting its nutrients and its elements, nourishment from the rain up high and from minerals down in the earth. We can be holy in this world, saints. We can be holy at school, holy at work, holy at home. The dump doesn't have to affect us because our nourishment and our holiness comes from God. We can smell like the rose in the middle of the dump. Brother Ivan, is that true? Oh, he has beautiful children. They smell like roses, not like the dump. Praise the Lord. Those that are saved. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, the amazing doctrine of holiness, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. People say in the world today, you can't be holy. You're calling yourself saints? Yes, we're saints and we're holy because of the amazing doctrine of salvation, justification, because of the amazing doctrine of sanctification, we can live a holy life. It says in Hosea chapter 1, verse 13. This might sound a little harsh. That's not meant to be that way, brothers and sisters. Hosea chapter 1:13. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, when she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. Now holiness begins in the heart. But then when my heart is holy, my tongue is going to speak holy. My eyes are going to want to see holy things. I'm going to have holy actions. I'm going to want to dress in a way that is modest, not revealing, not proud holiness. This body had decked itself with earrings and with jewels. And what happened soon after? She forgot God. Israel forgot God. It tells us in 1 Timothy 2:19, I won't read all the verse, but it says, women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Modest apparel comes from the word, as we've all heard, katastole. It means a garment flowing down, a dress of suitable long length. Not with gold or pearls, it says. 1 Peter 3:3, whose adorning, let it not be that of the, that, let it be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold. We won't go into all the details there, but some people say, why do y'all dress that way? And why do they? There's no secret. We look around us and we don't have a top secret holiness. We can see the women don't wear makeup, they don't wear jewelry, they don't cut their hair, they dress, and the men too, we dress in holiness. Why? The amazing doctrine of holiness. We're taught by the Holy Spirit and we're taught by the Word of God. I took off my gold ring that I had given to my wife when I got married, way before I met the saints, because I wanted to obey the scripture that says, let it not be the outward adorning of gold. I'd like to tell a story about a certain sister, Doreen. We were in Babylon, but in Babylon there are saved souls too. And I was in a church that believed in holiness inwardly and outwardly in every way. Only their doctrine was off. And there was a certain woman that had been raised in the what we call the truth. In her teenage years, she got lost and went into the world. She cut her hair, she permed it, she painted her face, she wore pants, she did all kinds of wicked things. But she came back to Christ. And when she came to the camp meeting, she put on a little short skirt. That's all she had. Her hair was perm cut. And her face was damaged. She took off her makeup, but it was damaged for so many years of wearing makeup. She took off her jewelry, and I met her. And I was so happy, and I told her, like the new sister, congratulations, we're so happy to see you. But 4 years went by, and I saw her again. And she came up to me and said, hi, brother. And I said, hi. She says, you don't recognize me. I said, no. She said, I'm Doreen. Her hair had grown up. She was wearing it up beautifully. Looked like a crown. It had white. It was no longer dyed. The years of damage of makeup, her beautiful face had gotten better with no makeup. She had a long flowing dress. And I said, Doreen? Doreen, what happened to you? You've been the amazing doctrine of holiness. Not just outwardly, but inwardly. She was glowing with the beauty of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11:10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Verse 15, the long hair is a glory to her. Matthew 23:25, people say, Jesus never taught about that word. It was all about the heart. Okay? It says in Matthew 23, verse 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. We're in Matthew 23. Verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so, ye outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Praise the Lord. The amazing doctrine of salvation, the new birth, the amazing doctrine of sanctification will change the inside and the outside. Amen. The amazing doctrine of healing, if I mentioned that a while ago, says in Mark 16, verse 17, "And these signs shall follow," praise the Lord, woo, hallelujah, "and these signs shall follow them that believe." Verse 18, last part, "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall remain that way. They shall recover." The amazing doctrine of healing through Christ's stripes. I believe and was taught that when the apostles died, healing ended. There was no more healing. But then one day I was reading, and I didn't look it up. I think it might be 1 Corinthians, where it speaks about the gifts of the chapter 9 to 14. I don't know which one it is. But it says that the Holy Spirit gives gifts of healing and of miracles. It says that He gives. It doesn't say He's going to do it until 1889, 1920, 2024. He says He gives. If the Holy Spirit gives gifts of healing, and the Holy Spirit gives gifts of miracles, He hasn't stopped. In the early morning church, it was heavily pronounced healing, and then it waned off as the church became corrupt. As Brother Wall used to teach, 270 AD. Same thing in the evening, light reformation. God poured out heavy, heavy signs. These signs shall follow. And as years have gone by and it's waned a little bit, we're not going to blame the ministry of the church. Only God knows why. But the Holy Spirit is still giving gifts of healing. Amen. And of miracles. It has not ended, my brother, my sister. Believe it. Trust in Jesus, not in the bottle, not in the medication. James 5, verse 14. "Is any sick among..." I'm talking about the amazing doctrine of healing through stripes, the stripes of Christ. James 5, verse 14. "Is any sick among you? Let him call the doctor. Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven." We were taught that this is only to the 12 tribes of Israel. If you notice first part of James, it says, to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, because the Israel had sinned and they were expecting Christ to come, and this was only to them. That's what I taught. But we're the new Israel, we're the new Jerusalem, and this is for us too. I started practicing and God started doing miracles. I'm going, this is 2003. I started believing the Bible and I started to pray for people and they started getting healed. Say, is this coincidence? I want to say real quick, in 2 Timothy 4:20, it says, "But Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick." Who left Trophimus in Miletum sick, brother? Paul. Who had the greatest gifts of healing in those days? They all did, but Brother Paul had a surmountable amount of power. Why would Brother Paul, if he had the gift of healing, leave Trophimus sick in Miletum? Because sometimes we can pray for healing and it's not God's will. It's God's will to heal, but He has His reason. And sometimes we're leaving some Trophimuses in Miletum sick, and we're accusing the church, saying that the church has lost power. Paul had not lost his power. Let's leave that in God's hands. Let's let Trophimus in God's hands. I'm one of those. I haven't been healed yet. I'm up here preaching about it. Woo! But I'm here. Look at me. I could hardly get out of bed. I flew over here. Amen. Hallelujah. God gives special anointing and healing. No boasting to me. All glory and honor to Him. Ask my wife how many times I'm in bed. Days. She brings me meals 3 times a day. Where am I at right now, darling? Amen. God brought us here by a miracle. "Is any sick among you? Let him call." You know who? 1 Peter chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, 24. "Who is who his own self, Jesus, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. I was healed by Christ's stripes, brothers and sisters. I just need to claim it and obtain it. If he doesn't heal me here, when I sweep into paradise, I will be healed. I want to quickly talk about healings of the past. Memoirs of Georgie Harmon. I don't have all the details right now, but I tried to jot that down if I read the book. It was so inspiring. And he, in the year 1898, I believe he was saved to the 1940s. He was 87 years old when he died. That brother prayed 4 different times. People were brought back to life. There's a brother in the this Evening Light Reformation. Janine, Sister Janine says that book is here in the kitchen if you want it. Memoirs. Read it and you'll be inspired. A woman was swollen, bedfast. Brother Harmon anointed her with oil. And she was half undressed, I guess. And there were men in there. And she goes, "You men, get out of here." So she was anointed. "I'm getting out of bed." And before they could get out, she was up and she was walking back and forth. "Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord." That's what these saints did when they're praying, when they're healed. They didn't keep quiet. Amen. You mean she got out of bed? He anointed her with oil. No glory to Brother Harmon. Gifts of healing. The Holy Spirit. Amen. It was powerful then. It can still be so today. Amen. There was a 12-year-old girl that had a ruptured appendix in the hospital. They were going to do surgery to her. He prayed and she was healed. The doctor did x-rays and said no. He says, "Wait a minute. You are healed." And miracles. That's just a few. Amen. Now I would like to mention a few that the Lord did. The ministers of the past wouldn't say, "I healed." They would say, "I've seen the Lord heal." And I can say, "I've seen the Lord heal through the work that we've done." In about 2008, Lissette's dad had failing kidneys. He lives in the Dominican Republic. He had spent all his lifetime drinking alcohol. I don't recall the details, but his kidney was destroyed. We called him. We asked if he had faith to believe. I was just barely beginning to have faith to believe in healing. And he said, yes, we prayed for him. 2 days later, we got a call saying the doctor did an examination and that kidney that was dead and gone was healthier than the other kidney. Coincidence? This is 2008. This is in 1889. We have a sister Maria that's been with us in services for 16 years. Her dad had Parkinson's. She picked him up and brought him home. She was taking care of him. And we saw him in a wheelchair. He was 80-something. And I was inspired to pray for him that he could walk again. We prayed for him, anointed him with oil, prayed for him. The second day, Sister Mia walks into the kitchen and the wheelchair is empty. She's going, "Where's my dad? Where's my dad?" And she walks outside. The dad is outside walking. Coincidence? You decide. That was 2010. We prayed for a man with arthritis that couldn't lift his arms. Later on, he showed up to service 1 week later doing this. He was healed of arthritis. I prayed for a young man that was a drug addict and he got in a fight and they knocked him on. They poked him with a stick right here and his intestines were sticking out. He came to service and I was, "Oh!" I put a little bit of aloe vera in there. I washed it. And then I prayed for him. A hole like that, and you could see his intestines bulging out. A week later, it started getting small like that. In 2 weeks, I looked at it. It was just a little pin dot. Coincidence or healed by Christ's stripes? That was 2009. Just now that we're in Honduras, I'd forgotten. Like Brother Ivan says, we do things and we forget. The sister said, "Remember when you were here the last time, 8 years ago?" Sister Elardina in Rio Esteban said, pastor of the Church of God. I said, "Oh, I do remember. Remember that he reached his hand into the fan and it just diced it, these two fingers, and you washed it and you flapped back the skin You prayed for him, anointed with oil, and just put a bandage on. And the next day, it was healed. She said, I've told that testimony many times. I've forgotten about it. Coincidence or healed by Christ's stripes? And I could go on and on. Honor and glory to God. The amazing doctrine of healing by Christ's stripes. We covered some amazing doctrines. Amazing doctrine of the new birth. The amazing doctrine of sanctification in Christ. The amazing doctrine of holiness. The amazing doctrine of healing in Christ. It's amazing.